All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
And
we got a guest here in the studio, live from Down Under. We got Brennan Hopkins with us.
All right.
Yes. Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so tell the people, as we're recording this, where you are and what time it is.
Yeah, cool. So I'm on the west coast of Australia, which is, you think about, yeah, it's kind of like the San Diego, I guess, of Australia is approximately where I'm at. Okay. And it is at just a 2 minute shy of 5:30 a.m. right now. So
yeah. Ooh, wow. Yeah, because we record live on Friday afternoons, as many of you know, listeners. So yep. I reached out to Brandon. He was like, that's going to be kind of early, but I'll make it.
So I'm like,
that's your call, buddy. I wouldn't make it. But
yeah.
It's, you know, it's funny, Brandon, because I actually hired a coach that I'm working with, and she's in the UK. So my coaching call is every Monday at 5 a.m. So,
oh, guess, my goodness.
I guess yeah. I did kind of do the same thing. And on that, it's crazy because on that call, there are people from US, Canada, UK, and Australia. So it's anywhere from 5 a.m. to like 10 p.m. It's crazy. Like it's all over the place. It's just amazing technology.
Yeah, it's definitely ridiculous. I think the bigger time, or it's interesting when you have daylight savings, because then you figure out kind of like everything is all different, and some countries don't observe it. Some places within countries don't observe it. Yep. We're one of the few states that don't have it. Evidently, they tried it for a little while, and then people like outside it. Of the city. Yeah, basically, people outside of the city. We're pretty big. We've got some farms and stuff, and evidently, a lot of people didn't like the change, so they took it back. No, we just stay on the same time zone, which is cool. It's like sometimes I'm 12 hours ahead of people. I'm talking to someone in California during winter in the States, then I'm like 16 hours ahead of them or something, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I think UK right now, they change their time at the end of the month. Like
oh,
it's
wow.
the last Saturday wow. of every month. So okay. there's this weird like 3 week gap mm-hmm. where it's an extra hour difference. So it's kind of crazy. Well, today we're going to be talking about with Brennan. He is a world traveler, and we're going to be talking about how travel makes you more persuasive. And Brennan, we'll get into your kind of background and what you're up to and your chops as far as persuasion go in just a minute. But before we do that, we're going to talk about the beverages we're having. And Brennan, while Jonathan was away, he told me what you were having. So I'm going to let you kick off the morning edition of Persuasion by the Pint. And hopefully you're not having a pint, but
although maybe you are. It's okay if you are.
It's okay if you are.
Yeah. So, well, I just made some coffee, and then we had some delicious hazelnut liqueur in the cabinet. So I've just got a couple splashes of that here in my morning Joe.
Oh,
all right. What does your mug say?
It says,
what your mug calm. Says.
Yeah. It says, keep calm and change it back to what your copywriter sent you.
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
It's part of I'm part of a like copywriter. It's a club sounds really bad since there's a real one of those, but it's kind of like a mini one of those. And
okay.
The founder sent out these to kind of the original members.
Mm-hmm. The OG of the copywriting OG. Kind of club thing.
Well, it's called Right Minds, actually.
Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Hey, you can Google it if you want.
Yeah.
The copywriter that heads it up is pretty baller in the SEO space. So.
Ah, cool. I might have to check him out or her out. I don't know which.
Him, yeah.
Him, okay. Cool. So you're having the hard stuff first thing in the morning. It's good to hear.
I am. I had some water first.
A little liqueur.
Yep.
I think I had an iced coffee blonde Blue Moon at the last episode.
So yeah. Here we go. Here we
not
go.
Not as much coffee as I was hoping.
There we go.
There you go. That was a very weak sound effect, but so Jonathan, I'll let you follow that up with your beverage.
Okay. Hopefully it's stronger than the sound there. So I got an I've got a Purple Haze by Abita. This is a big fan of Abita. This is a lager brewed with real raspberries added after filtration. So I haven't had this one yet. So I'm a little skittish about these raspberry and these berry lagers. So
some of them are really good and some of them are just not good at all.
And
really
it's
not in between.
It looks to me, you know, when I pour this, it
looks like a lager.
Yeah, it looks like a lager, but it's
actually
it's,
that's pretty. Let me see that again. Hold it up a little higher. Yeah, it's definitely got a little red. It looks like a red ale.
Yep.
That's what I was thinking too. It looks clearer when you were pouring it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the name too. I mean, Purple Haze, you know, Jimi Hendrix, you know.
Yeah.
Who can't love that name, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. I was like, you said Purple Haze. I was like, Jimi Hendrix. And then I tried to start singing it, and all I got was Purple Rain, like from Prince. Like,
here you go.
That's not right.
No. That's not it.
Need to memorize the buttons on that soundboard.
I've got them confused. Yeah, I need to change the labels there. So,
yeah. All right.
Thinking of Purple Haze, the very first car I ever owned, I owned a in high school. It was to me it was maroon, but all my friends called it Purple Haze. It was a Nissan. It was a little Nissan hatchback. It was like the first car when I was like 15. And it was like more of a burgundy, but they like to call it Purple Haze because we all named our vehicles back when, I don't know if you did that when you were in school, but that was kind of a thing. So
I still do that. The Jeep is Chester.
Chester.
He's bright orange. So he's bright orange with the black top and black fenders.
Yep.
So it's Chester the Cheetah Jeep.
Chester the Cheetah.
Yeah. So, so your purple car, like it probably was purple if everybody made fun of you for it being purple. Was it a 5-speed?
It was a 5-speed. The 5-speed.
Because we're Gen X and we actually know how to drive a 5-speed.
It was
Do you know how to drive a 5-speed?
I do. I have a 5-speed right now.
Nice. That's because you're international. If you were an American and stayed here, you wouldn't
have a 5-speed. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But in other countries, they still drive manuals, I think.
Yep.
In a lot of them. Yeah.
So, well, I've got a Deschutes Black Butte Porter.
So good.
Had some of this when I was up in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the brewery up there when I was up there month before last, whatever that was, and enjoyed it. So I figured I'd grab it off the shelf. Pretty mild as far as a porter goes. It's like a 5.2% alcohol. So it's pretty, it's almost a light beer compared to what we usually have here on the show. But good flavor, good taste for sure. So
that looks really good.
Yeah. So this is, but yeah, Deschutes made some good, they make some good beers for sure. So if
Deschutes, is that, area, hold that up again, the bottle?
Deschutes.
Deschutes.
Is it backwards? Here, is it backwards? We'll do it that way.
Dad.
So Black Butte Porter. Yeah, it's good stuff. But so cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
And, cheers.
Enjoy your coffee with a little liqueur. I wouldn't mind. Yeah, sounds pretty good right now, actually.
I know, right?
Really good. Yeah, this is the... it's some sort of
oh, that looks fancy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. It is. It's real deal. It's Italian.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
4 is old. So, by the way, it's totally fine. Just saying.
Yeah.
This is pre lockdown, pre everything.
Yeah. So, man, so as we're recording this, we're in the midst of the coronavirus. It's taking over the world. So how's life in down under with the coronavirus? Is it a thing down there? Or is it just the news we're hearing here? I'm curious how it's showing up down there.
Well, there is a saying that a lot of people hear. So the city that I live right outside of is called Perth. Mm-hmm. And people from this area tell me all the time that Perth is, quote, the most isolated city in the world.
Okay.
Which evidently is a good thing when there's a worldwide pandemic going on. But yeah, I think it's the farthest major city from any other place in the world, evidently. So, which it is, because basically we're like, I think we're some like 4 hour flight away really from the next, like in the millions type city. So things are, I feel like it's been, it's definitely not quite been as pandemonium, I guess, as it seems to be in the States. I got a pretty alarming text from someone based in the States the other day that was, I was like, oh my goodness, what is happening? Yeah. So I also don't have a TV, and I feel like that's where a lot of the kind of stuff is kind of being broadcasted in real time, but from people that are
constantly credible.
I don't know. So I just take a lot more things on social media with a grain of salt, but I think people get in front of a TV still and they're like, oh my goodness, this is true.
Yep.
So it's, yeah,
it's definitely bleeding over into, you know, the major websites and that kind of stuff, those type things. But yeah, it's,
but there's no toilet paper for some reason.
Oh, so in your country, over there too, right?
plenty of soap, bread, milk, you know, all the things for normal life, just toilet paper, just the shelves and tea.
That's because everybody in America is buying it, apparently, because it's crazy. So I heard this theory, this is interesting, that the Mormon church, the women in the Mormon church, this time of year, like the last week of February, 1st of March, somewhere in there, is like when they do their annual like prepping thing. So they were already buying like a lot of this stuff, and it triggered this kind of cascade that now other, and toilet paper is one of the things they buy, apparently, a lot of. So it was like this weird, you know, you see somebody in a store and the next thing you know, the whole country's buying extra toilet paper.
Sure.
Like it's just, it just goes to show like how, how much we're influenced, since we are talking about persuasion influence, like how much we're influenced by the madness of crowds and that kind of stuff. It's crazy.
Social proof, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a herd mentality, all that. But, and then there are a few people that I'm jealous of that saw other people buying it and realized they're, we could run out, and even if they don't agree with the people at that point, they should still buy some.
Yeah.
I'm not and that person, so.
That's where we were today. Yeah, that's where we were today. My, my wife and I were, that's the kind of point we were at today with just food and stuff like that, and I was like, okay, this is getting a little out of hand, like, so let's go buy some canned goods, some frozen meals. We happen to have an extra, like, chest freezer in the garage. So we're like, let's go buy the frozen foods, the, you know, all that kind of stuff. Cause if they decide, you know, some type of weird martial law that with a, you know, crackdown, you can't leave your house or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I think Texas would be the last state to do that. You never know. They were the first state to cancel a major event. You know, they canceled South by Southwest.
Yeah. Yeah. That's and huge.
That, I think that triggered a bunch of other events. So, you know, it's just, it's crazy what's going on right now. But let's talk about just persuasion. And Brennan, from you and I were kind of kicking some ideas back and forth. And we talked about, you have a unique perspective from a lot of the people probably that listen to the show, and that you've been doing quite a bit of travel. You're from the States, you're living in Australia. And we came up with the idea, or you came up with the idea, that travel, at least the way you've done it and the amount that you've done, makes you more persuasive. So I'd love to hear more about that. So why don't you tell people a little bit about your background, what you do in the realm of persuasion, and then just kick off like why that topic jumped out at you, and then we'll just kind of take it from there.
Yeah, awesome, cool. Well, I am, as I mentioned, from Virginia, from a small town at the bottom of Virginia, just right next to the North Carolina border. Grew up there. And then I don't know why, but kind of from a young age had a fascination with it probably was just fascination with adventure. I don't know, but ended up starting to do some things even in my late teen years. Started going in a way to like summer camps and working out of state when I was younger. And then that led, next thing I know, I'm studying in another state, in university, college, sorry. And then I ended up in South America for a year studying abroad. And then just kind of one domino led to another. And then all of a sudden I found myself, just renewed my passport. Visited 23 new countries and like 13 new states or something since I had gotten it. Wow. A lot of those countries where I'm now at like 3.5, 4 years, I guess, of living outside of the states in that as well. So, ultimately I live in Australia now. So my wife and I decided to relocate here a few years back for some various reasons, and still hoping to do more travel. We'll see. We were supposed to go to Italy in May, but that's going.
So that's not going to happen, huh?
We got an email from our airline provider yesterday, and there, this is for real, this is what it said. It wasn't like, we're refunding your flight. They're like, you're now going to Germany.
Yeah, because that's the same thing, right?
Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, anyways. But as we were throwing around some ideas and just looking to see kind of with my story how persuasion fits in. Yeah, just travel's been a big part of that. I'm also a direct response copywriter. I do a lot in the email space as well. And I actually got started during our travels. So mm-hmm. I would say most of my experience has been influenced by what's going on around me. Mm-hmm. And I think if I could break it down or kind of think about some of the most important aspects, I'd have to say that for me, travel was like really broadening of the mind. Mm-hmm. And being able to, you just interact with so many different people, and there's so many things about human behavior that you don't know are either normal or not normal until you start interacting with people from all over the place.
So give me an example that comes to mind when you say that. Like what would be normal somewhere else that maybe is not normal in the States, or whatever, however you could kind of give people a little bit more visual on that.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I mean, so I'm small town Southern kid, really. Is that's what like I grew up like. I'm not, because I live in Australia, but like fourth generation, you know, in that town kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just operate in a certain way of life, you know. The majority of the town kind of shares a pretty similar routine.
Yep.
And there's very similar values kind of shared across the town. And all of a sudden, you know, I wake up in another country and realize that people operate, even just their day to day, is completely different. Or the way that they, one value that might be very strongly held, I guess, like in my hometown. May be looked on completely different in another place, or never even considered, really. And I think that's important, because really one of the things that makes persuasion so effective is the ability to actually connect and relate with the recipient. And so if we're trying to communicate a message, it matters way more what they hear, not what we say.
Yeah.
Right. For sure.
Do you like to share some of those stories? I mean, some of the stories of your travel, I mean, are those incorporated into a lot of your copy, that you use? I mean,
that's a whole another thing, is kind of like when you travel, you get like a ton of experiences, which is always cool, because it's just like endless content ideas, I guess. Right. I can pretty much, we we really bootstrapped it there the first time we went traveling, because I was just getting started out. And so there are times where we got to places and we didn't know where we were staying, and we met someone, had a great chat. We were just honest with them about our situation, and next thing we know, like, we're being hosted by strangers.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. You know, so it's pretty awesome to kind of, now I would say a lot of that just has to do with how kind people can actually be, which mm-hmm. is encouraging, but sure. also there's some basic communication things, like being not pressuring, being honest, and mm-hmm. That kind of impacts people face to face. And those principles are also true when you're translating them into other mediums mm-hmm. as well. You know, for, I like to think about a lot of the pretty big copywriters have a lot of like door to door experience, and I can't claim that I didn't do that, but I have managed to convince some people to let me stay with them for free around the world. So
that's a pretty good sell right there. I mean, if you can, I mean, it's one thing to sell a vacuum cleaner or an alarm system, but if you can sell somebody to let a stranger sleep in your house, that's pretty impressive.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really cool. But I think too, like, one of the most distinct conversations, probably the best thing is, when you're an American traveling, you get to represent the political ideology of your whole country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's gotta be tough considering how split we are.
I mean, yeah. Well, and that's so unique too. Like, I think I'm just going to make a random plug for my opinion. I think there's a lot that we as Americans have to work on, but we're also kind of the only country that has this situation. Like, we're the only country with this many types of people interacting and living in the same space. So we have to give ourselves a bit of credit for how well we actually manage many cultures, so many backgrounds, so many unique experiences in one nation.
Yeah. I mean, you know, back in the day when I was at Agora, Doug Casey, you know, he'd come in and out, and he always talked about how America's got a really tough position because most people are very tribal in human nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they tend to flock together and have the same basic beliefs. And he always talked about how nation states are not, super, like a place like America is definitely an experiment that has been working for about 200 years, but in the history of the world, putting all these different types of communities together and types of ideas together has not historically worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if we're seeing the beginnings of that unraveling, or if it's just something the pendulum's swung one way and we'll have to get back to the other side, which is my personal view. I think it'll swing mm-hmm. back and forth like it has for the last 200 years. But yeah, it's interesting that as you travel, you see that, you know, it's, I guess in Europe and even mm-hmm. Asia, I guess you see that it's kind of like the Southeast in the US, Texas, California, those are very mm-hmm. distinct cultures. But then even more so in America, you've got, you know, California may have 4 to 5 different cultures, the Hispanic culture, the Asian culture, you know, all that stuff is in one state. Like, it's just right. amazing, like you said, that we could do that. So I'm curious, Brendan, from your point of view, what have you noticed and what have you learned about human nature that is universal as you travel? Mm. Like, what's just the things that don't change, so that when you sit down to write copy, you know there's certain things you can depend on, and you may be able to pull a story or a technique or a tactic, you know, tie a story to a technique or tactic. But then there's basic human nature principles that it doesn't matter where you travel, you see the same things. What would you say some of those are?
Yeah, of course. And I think, I'm not going to say anything here that hasn't probably already been said in one way or another, but just people they are influenced by their society and social norms, but they never cease to be human. Mm-hmm, and right. So they all still have within their respective frameworks, the desire, you know, for affirmation, to protect themselves from fear, for human connection, mm-hmm. for safety, mm-hmm. for freedom, and whatever that may look like. So basically you kind of see that there are, like, it doesn't look necessarily the same, like, here in Australia, like, work-life balance is very important. But we also, like, have more of, like, a socialized healthcare system. So for one person's view of, like, freedom would be a little different, whereas another person's like, I can work whatever job I want and live however I want because it's not, you know, so you see
because they're not dependent on, like, here in the States, some people, their health benefits are like a golden handcuff or a handcuff to their, like, I know plenty.
That's great. Yeah.
I've got friends and family.
Yeah.
That will not leave their job, even though they're immensely qualified to be consultants or whatever. Will not leave the job just because of health benefits.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Exactly. So, like, and some people, you know, in some people's eyes, there's an aspect of freedom because it's what they have is independent from, you know, from the government, maybe, or another person's idea of freedom as far as I'm able to make other life decisions without being concerned about this. And that's what I actually value. So you see, I think it's more interesting to see how it plays out practically. Mm-hmm. Because I think as kind of persuasion people, you learn over time, like, these are the basic human emotions, and they're for real universal. But what you miss, or what we, you know, what we miss sometimes is they play out differently mm-hmm. in different contexts, and that's so, even in different generations. And that's so important in our messaging, because it's a bit harder nowadays with, like, how social media is, because technically all demographics are consuming the same message, kind of, but that's why it's so polarizing, you know, like, this message isn't actually designed for all people. It's designed for whoever their ideal avatar was.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that, and correct me if I'm wrong, would you say that travel has made you understand the importance of, like, really diving down into a person's, like, daily life and daily schedule, daily habits type thing, like your prospect, because you have seen such differences in, like, how their day goes about, even though they're the basic human, you know, tendencies are the same?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I'd like one story particularly. We were traveling right after the Trump election happened, actually, is when we first started our travels. So, like, as the Americans, we got to answer tons of questions. And even my wife and I, like, politically, we're not on the same page in all the ways. Like, we have different backgrounds. She comes from a different part of America than I do originally. So, like, and it's really crazy, you know, to sit down with someone and we're at a bonfire in England one night waiting for a band to play. And people are just like, so talk to me, why do Americans love guns? It's just like, all right, hold my beer.
Fast.
I know, here we go. But, like, that's what would happen. And then in those types of conversations, you hear it, you just get, like, a unique experience to be able to see how, like, how people's context frame things for them. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm so hesitant to say, I'm really hesitant to say a lot of things because I understand, like, this is going to hold so much meaning or could hold completely different meanings across the board. Mm, and, like, the goal that, you know, the real goal of communication in general is to like be understood and to understand other people. So like, if that's the case, I need to let go of kind of my association with specific words and think a bit more in the framework of what is this person's context.
I think that's so overlooked, and I think it's so easy to get trapped, you know, especially if you're a copywriter or a marketer that is in the same industry for a long time and you niche down on that industry, or you're just as an owner, you're in that industry. You can really forget that your prospects, especially new prospects coming into your world, may not have the same basic understandings that you do, and probably don't, especially if you're asking them to change something, the way they do business and the way they live their lives, whatever. Like even as simple as the fitness space, right? Yeah. If you're trying to get new people in the fitness space, you know, it goes back to that stuff like jargon and stuff that you assume is a baseline, just the way you live is completely foreign to somebody who's never been in that world, you know? And if you lose that sense of newness, that beginner's mind, it can really hurt your copy big time. And you're not going to relate on a human level. Sure, you can hit the big themes, but what'll be missing is that nuance. It really makes a promotion effective and really lets them know that you understand them, like you said.
Yeah. And the thing is that I think people discount how important those nuances are. You know, even it's cool that we've done a lot of traveling, obviously, within the other English speaking countries. And it's ridiculous, you know, like, so here in Australia, they call a wrench a spanner. And so if I'm chatting with them and they're like, that really throws a spanner in the works, like, there was a while where I just didn't know what they were saying.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same phrase, like they literally just swapped out the one word. The whole phrase kind of lost meaning for me because I'm like, what is a spanner? Like, and so.
And there's phrases like that in every, not just every country and every, you know, region, but in every market and every submarket. Like if you're, there's a difference between how people talk about the gym if they're a bodybuilder versus if they're a functional fitness person versus if they're a cardio person. Like they all see the gym differently.
100%.
Literally don't even go to certain parts of the gym within the building because they're like, no, that's the bodybuilder. That's Jonathan's section. I'm not going over there.
Exactly. That's where all the meatheads hang, you know? And it's like, those are all the cool people.
So
That's fascinating. We're going to touch on, have either of you guys read or touched on Scott Adams? Has the of Dilbert, he's got a new book out called Loser Think. Have you guys heard of this book?
No, I've heard about it, but I haven't. Yeah, haven't read it.
It's fascinating, and I've gone through it recently on audio. But it's very interesting, as you mentioned this. You know how people they fall blind to the traps of what is it, the Occam's razor? There's always a simple. The everything has to boil down to the simplest solution, which is my solution. And so you have to, you know, he talks about, you know, people need to retrain their mind to think almost like a scientist in terms of, you know, kind of breaking yourself away from what your current norms are or what your cultural norms are to kind of look outside the situation to say, well, no. You know, and break away your biases. You know, it's hard to break away from your own biases, but we have to do that sometimes.
Yeah, it's why, who was it? Oh man, one of the copywriters, I guess was it Schwartz? Maybe it was Eugene Schwartz. He said, you know, you should go see every blockbuster movie that comes out because it's the most, you know, it's the most common. It's what the people like. You should be reading the Inquirer or Globe or
Absolutely.
US Weekly because even though nobody reads that stuff, they're the best selling papers, you know, on the planet, you know, and every country has them. Mm-hmm. You may not like the Kardashians, but there's, you know, however many millions of people watching that. Mm-hmm. And if it's your target market that watches it, you might want to know why.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Understand. That's their little country. That's their little, you know, world, their little nation of how they think.
Yeah. And when you're saying that, I think that's a whole, that's also in and of itself, something worth exploring is like, I feel like frequently when we're doing, you know, research and diving in, we lose the personness of the avatar. They become like facts and mindsets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, we forget that, oh, wow. This person goes to the bathroom. This person scrolls on their phone while they're, you know, like these, this person like does normal life things. Mm-hmm. And if I don't take that into consideration, I'm going to write to like a shell of a person.
Right.
Where it's like, I've got the targets. Well, you know, it's like a target dummy, you know, it's like, I've got the targets lined up. So I hit all five of them, but like, it's going to be like a bit devoid kind of,
yep,
of life. And I think you just see this may not, I think this is a bit more culturally or something kind of that will trend, but yeah, authenticity is just the name of the game, I guess, right now, for at least in a lot of the, you know, more developed countries, because people are just so, like, there's a transition of authority figures and all sorts of things. Like, there's a transition of a lot of kind of what were for a long time. But one of the big things that has come from that is just a desire to, like, feel like a person, feel validated, feel like I'm actually understood. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a danger when you kind of just always sit behind the desk and aren't interacting with people, you know, aren't hearing how their day was terrible because they spilled their coffee in their lap on the way to work and it just threw off their whole day. Or like for me, like how people make an impulse purchase because they're sad and then they're happy, you know, like that's like, it was like, I was having a really terrible day and then I got some ice cream and my day was better. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, that's actually... Yeah. That's your whole day was better because you got ice cream. Like, yeah, why is no one like their $5 product? They're not like, are you having a bad day? This will make you feel better.
Yeah.
And like even if you were to write, you know, I was having a bad day. Like if you opened that'd be a great email opening, right? Hey, I was having a bad day. I was worried about my taxes and stopped by the store and I bought an extra half gallon of ice cream because I just didn't want to write the check. Like that's a good opening that you can then segue into, well, we've got a solution for making your taxes easier or whatever. And people forget that little humanness type stuff that people do. Like you said, that's what people do. I remember hearing John Ford, you know, he writes a lot of copy up at Agora. I remember him saying one time, and I'll never forget it. It's like, what are people thinking when they're sitting on the edge of the bed with one shoe on, one shoe off, deciding if they're actually going to go through their day or not? Or what are they dreading about the day that's coming up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see that picture mentally of sitting on the edge of the bed, one shoe on, the other's kind of in their hand, and they kind of stop for a minute because they really don't want to go on with their day. Mm-hmm. You know, or you're in the shower and you got both hands on the wall in front of you and the water's just kind of running off because you really don't want to face the day. So you're just taking that extra 30 seconds because this day sucks or whatever, you know, or the opposite. Like what are people really excited about when they wake up in the morning and all that stuff? And we forget to include those details because we're so concerned about like this big hook or getting to the offer or whatever, and we leave out that humanness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've kind of seen that in the real world where these differences and how you can really pick up, you know, you see it nationally, but the same thing, like we said earlier, the same thing applies demographically, psychographically, mm-hmm. any given market.
Yeah. And I mean, I just learned that by accidentally offending people all the time by being courteous in what I learned, and then realizing that, like, oh no, I just was either too forward, or I wasn't forward enough, or I said thank you at the wrong time, and now it sounds like I was being passive aggressive, or like, you
know? Yeah, it's like, yeah, I mean, all three of us are from the South, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. So we open the door for people.
Yep.
Woman, mm-hmm. man, just, oh, absolutely. You know, anybody older than us, you know, it doesn't matter. That's just what we do, right? We open the door. You do that in New York City, and they're like, what, you don't think I can open the door for myself, huh? Like,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's an insult.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't know that about your market, like, that's a problem. So the more you travel, the more mm-hmm. you get out, the more you start to realize that everybody doesn't think the way you think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how good your hook is if you've been micro insulting people the whole time. Like, you're just not really going to come back from that.
I think we should trademark that phrase, micro insulting.
Micro insulting.
Okay.
I like
trademark
it.
This.
So yeah. there's your product, Brennan. You can you could, you know,
I mean,
13 ways you're micro insulting your ideal prospect.
It is. Well, it's just like, and I think that's kind of the challenge sometimes that I have with copy, even trying to figure out, like, how do I make this truly relatable? Because I feel like, you know, that we're either like blowing it out of proportions, like you're saying, like we have in our mind kind of like the person on the edge of the bed, and like, I could use a lot of solutions in life. That's not my like daily position though. Usually I'm like getting coffee and I'm like exhaling, because I'm like, ah, crap, I got to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know,
like, right.
Mm-hmm.
I still got, you know, we still got bills to pay.
Sure.
I don't have the luxury to like sit here and contemplate whether or not I'm going to like, I'm going to go on in my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so
definitely weighing on my mind like all day. Sorry.
So check this out. This is one of my best headlines ever. Hold on.
Okay. I'm kind of skeptical if you start that way.
When you say best, seriously, best ever.
This was one of the first headlines I ever wrote as a copywriter.
Okay.
It still hangs on my wall. And I never actually got to write a package around it, but I did win a prize for it.
That's awesome. But, okay. Then you can say it's a great one. If you won a prize for it, I validate it.
Yeah. There's a picture of the check right here. So it says, she said, we don't need to be rich. I just want to be able to pay our bills on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be comfortable and pay our bills on time. And then like the opening is, those were the words my wife said as we sat at the kitchen table looking at yet another make money from home opportunity, promising to make us rich for little or no effort. I knew she was right, but what could we do? Most of my life, I tried to get to the next dollar, the next big thing, the next promotion, but it still left me feeling blah, 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 whatever. So it was like, just like really starting where people are. And knowing that, mm-hmm. And then like you said, you know, with the travel, like knowing their customs and, you know, again, to beat this horse, like those same things apply in individual markets.
Yeah.
So the same things you're seeing internationally and how people behave differently in different cultures, the same thing happens in demographics, psychographics, and different markets. So.
Yeah. So those are the things that it's all, we all know the basics. Points of persuasion and kind of Maslow's hierarchy of needs and all these things, like those don't really change because they are inherently human.
Right.
But who we are as people is shaped by our surroundings and our experiences and things like that. So,
yeah. As a persuader, you have to step out of that sometimes and into their world.
Yep.
It's not about us persuading them. It's about them, period.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's just, and that's kind of, what's the end goal here? The end goal is to, I want this person to take this action. Like, that's my end goal. Well, that means I need to communicate with them on their terms as much as possible. Yeah. Because, you know, and that's really kind of the... I guess the extent of it. So other than that, travel's just a lot of fun because it's cool seeing new places.
Exactly. Well, Brian, we have a rule. Go ahead. You have a question?
No, I'm just curious. Do you run into many other like travelers like yourself that do like, I mean, that's part of their business, travel business. Like,
sorry. Okay. Hold on. Do I meet many?
Do you run into a lot of other guys? Cause I mean, I know I've interviewed a lot of guys in the past on another podcast that they've done, you know, it's like a lifestyle business, I guess was what you call it, where they travel. Mm-hmm. And, one of the most popular guys I ever interviewed was a guy named, he goes by Nomadic Matt, but he's got this Nomadic. Mm-hmm. I think it's nomadicmatt.com, but,
I know, I'm familiar with him, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's like
Nomadic somebody.
He's huge. Cause I mean, he's all over the place, but he's made, I mean, mm-hmm. that's like been his business, but I'm just curious if you run into other people like that, or you talk to other people in your business, you run into other people that are doing like lifestyle businesses. Cause Sean and I were talking about like the whole experience type thing, you know, but I think more and more people are wanting to do exactly what you're doing, you know, create a business where you can, you know, have the freedom to travel, to do what you want to do, go see mm-hmm. things, experience other places. And then at the same time, make a living at it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a whole shift kind of in values that we're seeing within the generations, you know, mm-hmm. and as kind of older generations have done the right thing. And then they're just kind of having so many regrets. You have younger folk that like, hold on, mm-hmm. if I follow their same path, I will have the same regrets. So I'm going to try something a little different. Maybe I'll regret other things, but I won't regret the same things they do.
They'll find some other way to screw up their life for sure.
The thing is like the digital nomad life is, I don't know. I haven't had a lot of conversations with people that have done it long-term. It's really hard lifestyle.
Sure.
Because it's devoid of a lot of like, it's devoid of a lot of community things. And I would say that humans are designed to be communal.
Yep.
So, I was recently listening to a podcast, I think you'd like, Brennan, if you haven't run across it, is called This Cultural Moment.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So on a recent episode, they talked about, if Jesus came back today, would he, and it was just kind of a thought experiment, not a doctrine thing mm-hmm. for those listening that might get hung up on that. Like they were like, would he change the Great Commission to stay instead of go? Because we're going so often and we're not going mm-hmm. deep in relationships. Would the new mandate be stay and go deeper with a community as opposed to go out and find new communities? Oh, that's a good question. It's like, you know, it's super easy. And with this whole, you know, virus scare and, you know, as Jonathan said on our last episode, like Zoom stock was like one of the few stocks going up that's going to be, that could very well be, you know, the communication of the future and I would not be surprised if virtual reality funding takes a huge leap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Next year because of this. Tamara and I were talking about, my wife and I were talking about that as far as, you know, what technologies will this create mm-hmm. to take the place of in-person visits and mm-hmm. things like that. And I could certainly see virtual reality, augmented reality, you know, taking a huge leap.
Yeah.
Forward because of this type of stuff.
Yep.
So, Brennan, I was going to say earlier, we have a rule on the show that when we run out of beer, the show is over. And Jonathan's almost out. I'm about to be out. So this is your chance to kind of plug anything you want to plug. Or to give us a final word of wisdom from the laundry room.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. So I guess, travel. There's so many things that have already been said. I guess really I'll go ahead and give my details really quick. So as I mentioned, I'm a direct response copywriter. done email marketing quite a bit for the past few years as well. So guys can, people are interested, they can connect with me on Facebook, Brennan Hopkins, or my website is brennanwhopkins.com. So love to connect with some people there. But I think the big thought is takeaway, or the big takeaway would be, obviously travel isn't the necessary mandate for someone to be an effective, you know, persuasion artist, but it's the concept behind it, which is understanding the differences and the nuances between people and the overall, you know, adjusting your message to resonate with them where they're at, not right. on what right. sounds good to you in your current context. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's all. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So that's Brennan W. Hopkins. Jonathan, did you find that? We'll put that on the show notes page. We'll
put that on the show page for this episode.
And I can vouch for Brennan and his email chops. He and I did a project together. He did most of the work. I just sold it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
To my clients listening, I'm not going to tell you which one it was. he did a great job on a follow-up sequence, which I think is probably the most underutilized asset of any company is their email follow-up sequence when a new person comes in their world. Mm-hmm. Or a person buys a new product. I think a strong, well-crafted follow-up sequence is definitely underused and a huge hole on most companies.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know. So, reach out to Brennan for that because I'm not doing that crap anymore. he can take care of you there. So.
Thanks, Brennan. All right. Thanks for coming on. And enjoy the conversation.
Fantastic time. Appreciate it. And hope you guys have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, you're already into it in the future there.
I am.
It's pretty cool.
So that is Brennan Hopkins, a.k.a. Bathroom Jesus.
you have to watch the YouTube to get the full effect of that, that comment.
Hey, we enjoyed it, man. Thanks so much. And to all of our listeners out there, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. And you can find us on any of your podcast platforms. Check us out. Sean, it's been fun, man. And until next episode, have a wonderful week.